I want you tonight in your Bible to turn to the book of Job, the Old Testament book of Job, Job chapter 1. I was thinking on a message this past week for tonight, a Bible study I'd been working on, and I'd gotten all the way up through that message, and I'd had many people calling me during the week in my Sunday school class and others that have been going through some hard times right now. Several of our families have lost members of their family to death, some through COVID, some through other situations, cancer and other things. And you know, our church family has really, here lately, it seemed like it's been hit with a lot of heartaches and a lot of burdens and a lot of problems. And many folks are sick. Many are experiencing death in their families. I know we've got three here tonight that are mentioned, two of which we're having to wait on the services until family can be able to be well enough to be able to get the services prepared for their loved one. And then we have another service, the Broadbeck family, that will be on Friday. But during this time, it just seemed like while I was working on this this message, that God spoke to my heart yesterday afternoon, and said, no, there's something else I want you to do. I want you to encourage my people. And that's what we want to do tonight. I want to give you some things here tonight. From this book of Job, the man of God, Job, went through a lot of things. But you know, God had a purpose in all that happened in Job's life. And tonight, I want us to look at the very first verse in the very first chapter of this book of Job, where the Bible said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. You know, as we enter into this new year, 2022, this is the first week, I've taken note of many of the families that have called us. And I was on the phone this morning praying with several of them about situations in their life, their heartaches going on in their lives and burdens and sicknesses and all kinds of things going on. Some are having to endure trials and afflictions of the sickness. And we've already been through these first couple weeks here from Christmas through the new year. And we've had folks that have passed away. We've had folks that have had to go to the hospital. We've had folks that have been in the hospital several times with certain illnesses. They've come home, got worse, had to go back. And many of our folks are really facing a lot of difficulties as this new year starts out. So tonight, I wanted to be able to give you some things here from the Word of God. And I want you to see something here in this very first chapter, the very first verse, where we read these words, there was a man whose name was Job. And I want us to look at this tonight about this man, Job, and how he faced the heartaches, the burdens, the trials that he went through. And as he faced these things, how did he overcome them? I want you to see that through it all, God had a plan for this man. You know, many times we don't understand. Many times we just cannot figure out what God seems to be doing in our lives. And the devil will jump up on our shoulder and he'll try to get us to be angry with God and to curse God, even as he tempted Job to do here in this book, 42 chapters. But you know what? God had a plan. And I want you to see tonight, folks, if you're watching this service tonight, maybe you're one of those ones going through a very difficult time right now. Your heart's burdened. Your heart has been broken. You're grieved about things that are going on in your life right now. Listen, I want you to understand, God has a plan. And what we need to do tonight is learn to trust Him, to rely upon this old book we call the Word of God, to rely upon the Bible as God's Word, to get in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get into us. So I want us tonight to pray. And then I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, there was a man whose name was Job. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer first of all. Lord, tonight, dear God, I just want to thank you again for the privilege to be able to stand and preach your word. Lord, more than 40 years ago now, God, you called me as a young man to preach and to teach and to tell others about you and how that you could save from the uttermost to the guttermost. And God, I'm so glad that you called me to serve you. And Lord, tonight, again, I ask you, Lord, for your strength. Lord, I ask you, God, to give me the words to say. Keep my mind clear. Keep me from being distracted tonight by the things around me. And Lord, I pray that you'll allow me tonight to be a help and an encouragement to our people here at Church of the Open Door. Lord God, we lift up our pastor again tonight. And Lord, we ask you, Father, to please touch his body, strengthen him, heal him, Lord, so that he can be back with us again as we are standing here in this new year. Lord, I know he wants to be here to preach, but physically, Lord God, he's not able to do that tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll just touch his body and continue to bless him and strengthen him. Lord, thank you for his wife being able to be here tonight to interpret for our deaf members. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll bless her tonight, strengthen her, and Lord, keep her well as well. Lord, we ask you now, God, to be with the message. Use me, Lord, tonight. And God, allow your words to not return void, but God, to go out and to strengthen your people. And Lord, we'll give you thanks and praise and glory for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. I want to again say thank you for being here tonight. And as we look at this first chapter of the book of Job, Job chapter 1, verse number 1. I want us to look at what these words say. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. This is a true story. God had this book written not only to tell us about a man who had to learn how to trust God through suffering and affliction, but he had this book written for you and for me, for our benefit, so that we could learn how to trust God when we have to go through trials and heartaches and burdens and persecutions. And the Bible said that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now I want us to look at a few things here in verse 1 about this man. I want us to look at it. First of all, the Bible said that he was a perfect man. Now, I know there is no perfect man on this earth, amen? There is no perfect man physically speaking and mentally speaking and all that. But what this verse is talking about is not that he was without fault, but it's telling us here that this man, Job, was a perfect and upright man. He was complete. He was mature in the Lord. The Bible said he was upright, meaning he was marked by strong moral attitudes in all that he did. In other words, Job had some biblical standards for living in a wicked world around him. Man, thank God for a man that was perfect and upright. And then look what the Bible said. It says that he was one that feared God. That word feared means that Job had a reverential respect and awe for the God that he served and worshiped. And then the Bible said that he eschewed evil. And that word eschewed, it basically means he avoided habitual, moral, and impractical standards for living. He shunned sin. He stayed out of the way of something that would come and hinder him from living for God, and he sought for a way of escape when it appeared before him. He eschewed evil. He got rid of it in front of him. Now let's read what verses 2 and 3 have to say about this man. Look at it. Verse 2 says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. This man, Job, man, he had been blessed by God. And we see that here in verses 2 and 3. This man was faithful to God and his family. He was faithful to them, as we see also here in verses 4 and 5. Look what the Bible said. and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And look what it said. Thus did Job continually. This man cared for his family. He loved them. He tried to teach them the Word of God. But he knew, like we all know about each member of our family, we're only human. And sometimes the adversary will tempt us to do things wrong. And so Job, every morning, he bowed on his knees. He prayed unto God. He offered a sacrifice to the number of them all. And he prayed for them. And the Bible said, thus did Job continually. There was a man whose name was Job. But listen, I want you to understand point number two tonight. I want you to see in this study is that there was also an enemy. There was a man who was blessed of God, who eschewed evil. He prayed for his family. He did that which was right in the eyes of God. He feared the Lord with all his actions. But there was also an enemy. Now, I want you to look at this tonight. In Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the Bible said, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." You know what? Satan is going to try to weasel his way in anywhere and everywhere that he possibly can. Listen, if you give the devil an inch, pretty soon he'll become the ruler. So don't give the devil an inch. And look what it said in verse number 7. "The Lord saw all this, and the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it.'" What was Satan doing? He was bragging about his domain. He was bragging about walking around in his earthly domain. We're warned, folks, in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8, to understand that we too have an enemy today. Job is not the only one that had an enemy. You and I, as born again children of God, honey, we have an enemy tonight. We have an enemy every morning. We have an enemy every day. Ladies, that enemy is not your husband. Men, that enemy is not your mother-in-law, okay? That enemy is Satan. The enemy is Satan tonight. And we want to understand, Peter writes here about this Satan. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Folks, you and I have an enemy today, even as this man Job had an enemy. And we need to be aware that there's an enemy that wants to stop us, to hinder us, to distract us from living for God and from praying for our family and from doing those things that we ought to be doing for God. Listen, some of you teenagers, you got some games and things like that on your computers probably this Christmas. Don't let those things keep you from spending time with the Lord, from spending time in the Word of God. Adults, listen, let's not get carried away with sitting back in the recliner and just watching the boob tube all the time, but let's stay in tune with the Word of God. Don't let Satan distract you. But you and I need to understand something else tonight. Though there was an enemy for Job, and though there is an enemy for you and me today, God knew the intentions of that enemy. You see, God is not caught off guard with Satan. God does not go around, as our pastor has said, and say, "Oops, I didn't know about that." No, God knows all that's going on. And God knew that this was the enemy of every man, woman, boy, and girl on earth. Satan is God's enemy. Therefore, child of God, he is your enemy tonight as well. Nothing takes God by surprise. And God knew the intentions of his enemy and of Job's enemy and of your enemy and my enemy today as well. Peter said that enemy walketh about. He's bragging to God about walking to and fro upon the earth, up and down in it, and just bragging about all those folks that he's got sidetracked and have not yet come unto the Lord. That's why you and I need to be prepared to go out and reach people with the gospel. Listen, there is an enemy that is going to do all that he can do to keep people from coming to the Lord. But God has saved you and God has saved me so that we can go out and warn people about this enemy and see them be saved. The Bible tells us that this enemy is seeking whom he may devour. He's going around watching, looking for those that are weak in spirit, those that are weak in their spiritual lifestyles, those that are questioning the Word of God, those that have disregarded the Word of God, and those who are not in church as they ought to be. Listen, the Bible tells us that he is seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible tells us over in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's always accusing us. He's always fault finding. You know, if you look hard enough and long enough, you'll find fault with anybody and everybody that you come in contact with. But folks, let me tell you something. The one I find the most fault with is the one that I shave every morning and every afternoon. Listen, I know how that the devil will try to tempt me to be insincere in my service unto the Lord. And so I have to be on guard. You need to be on guard. Our pastor has to be on guard. Listen, the Bible said that Satan is the accuser of our brethren, which accused them before our God day and night. But this did not take God by surprise. God knew the intentions of the enemy. So point number three is, I want you to understand, not only is there a man named Job, not only is there an enemy today to be aware of, but there is a God who knows. Amen? Aren't you glad tonight that God knows and he's aware of all these things? You see, God knew his servant Job. God knew his servant. And the Bible said here in Job chapter 1, verse 8, that the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschewed evil?" You see, while the devil is out there trying to accuse you of all your faults and failures, God sees what you are doing for him, and God knows why you do what you do for him. Listen, is what you do for God for the praise of the pastor? Is it for the praise of your Sunday school teacher? Is it for the praise of men? Or is it unto the glory of God? Listen, give God your best. The Bible said here that God knew Job's testimony. The testimony that Job carried was that of the Lord. Look at what it said. Verse 8, "There is none like him." There was nobody around like this man Job. God knew his testimony. God knew Job's mind. Look what it said there in verse number 8, that he was perfect. He was complete. He was spiritually mature. He stayed in communion, close contact with the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Oh, my friend tonight, listen, if you are not at peace with God, listen, you need to get your heart settled. You need to get your mind stayed on the things of the Word of God. You need to get settled in here and know, listen, that the devil is going to try to tempt you. He's going to try to discourage you. But God will give peace. He will give strength. And he will enable you. Why? Because you put your faith and trust in him and not in the things of this old world. But also, God knew Job's heart. God knew Job's heart. Look at what verse 8 said. God said that he was an upright man. In other words, he was marked by strong morality in all that he did. You know, the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And I love the book of Proverbs. And it said here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 3, that the integrity of the upright shall guide them. It will guide us. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Folks, keep your heart right with God. Stay in the book. Let the book stay in you. And then God said here that he knew not only Job's heart, but he knew Job's desire. Listen, let me ask you something tonight. What is your desire for God? What is your desire in this new year of 2022? What is your desire tonight as a church member here at Church of the Open Door, as a bus worker, as a choir member, as a Sunday school teacher, as a worker over in the Good Shepherd's class, as a Sunday school teacher, as a teacher in our Christian school? Listen, what is your desire in this new year? Listen, the Bible said here that Job's desire was to be one that feareth God. One that feareth God. Job was in awe, total respect of the God that he served. He looked up into the heavens, as many of us have done it on a starry night. I love to go out in my yard. There are no street lights there, nothing but the blackness of night. And you stand there and look up into the heavens, and the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And man, I get to thinking, what a mighty God I have. What a mighty God that would choose an old wretch like me and love me and indwell me with his sweet Holy Spirit. And I stand in awe of that great and mighty God. Job feared the Lord God. But verse 8 goes on to say that he chose his desire to eschew evil. He chose to push it away. He chose not to have any part of it. If it looked like it was dirty, he didn't do anything with it. He put it aside. The Bible said here that Job made it a habit, a way of living to avoid sin. He made it a habit to avoid sin. He did not want to be overcome with sin when he was tempted. Listen, every one of us are tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted of Satan in the wilderness, yet without sin. And folks, the Spirit of God that dwells within us will lead us. He will guide us. He will direct us in the right paths to go and not to go. But we've got to be willing to follow him. Job had a desire to fear God and to eschew evil, to push it away, to avoid it, to shun it, to get out of the way of sin. God knew his servant Job. So in this true story, we see how that God then offered this faithful servant to Satan. He offered his faithful servant Job to Satan. Now you say, how could a loving God ever do something like that? You know, I look at it this way. I think, in my own personal mind, I think that the devil was just getting on God's nerves. Amen? He gets on my nerves. I don't know if he gets on yours or not, but I think he was getting on God's nerves. And God said, hey, just hush your mouth. Have you considered my servant Job? You're telling me all the ones. You're bragging about all the ones that's not living for me. But have you thought about the one that does live for me? The one that escheweth evil, the one that feareth God, the one that wants to do what's right? Have you considered my servant Job? And note here in verse number 8 that it was the Lord that said this to Satan. It wasn't Satan that came up and said, I want to ask your permission, God, if I can bother your servant Job. No, God offered his servant to be tested. Listen to me, folks. I believe today that God oftentimes allows us as born-again children of God to go through some times of testing so that we can be an instrument of God's glory to shut the mouth of the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, and just send him on his way back to hell where he belongs. But you know what? We are going to be either a trophy on God's trophy shelf, or if we're not careful, and if we get sidetracked and we get away from doing what we ought to be doing, we get used to being out of church. We get used to not being in the Word of God. We get used to not giving as the Lord has prospered us. Listen, if we get away from doing those things that we ought to be doing, then pretty soon, if we're not careful, we'll end up and we'll be a trophy on Satan's trophy shelf. Now, the choice is ours. We've got to choose what we're going to do. But God, the Bible says here, that God chose His servant to be tested. And God chose the servant that He could trust. Now, you think about that just a minute. He chose a servant that was found faithful, one that was willing to do what God said do, one that was willing to live the way that God said live. And then God says, hey, I'm going to use this man to shut the mouth of the adversary. Man, I would think that would be a privilege, don't you? God used Job. Why? Because God knew that He could trust Job. Listen, God chose the servant whom would trust Him. You know what? When we get down and out and we have burdens and heartaches and problems that come our way, do we get mad at God and do we begin to accuse God of not loving us? And do we say, God, I just don't understand this and I'm just going to quit serving You. I thought You loved me. Or do we go to God and say, God, I don't know why I'm having to go through this, but I love You and I'm going to trust You. And Lord, I need Your strength to help me through this so that I can bring glory and honor unto Your name. I remember this time last year when I was sick. Man, I didn't understand why I was having to go through so much stuff that I was going through. And I'd been in the hospital there in Baltimore and at Johns Hopkins in the downtown COVID center. And you know what? God sent me there and I was discouraged because I couldn't be at home. And I was so sick with this COVID and this pneumonia. But you know what? I had a pocket full of tracts. And I thought to myself, well, you know what, God? You've brought me down here for a reason. And though I don't understand it, I'm going to be faithful to tell folks about Jesus. And every doctor that came in, I gave them a gospel tract. Every nurse that came in, I told them about Jesus. And I ran out and I called my wife and I said, honey, I need some more gospel tracts. And she said, well, they won't let me come in and see you. And one of the men in our church here, Brother Buck, he said, well, I go down there all the time in Baltimore. I know where he's at. I'll take it down and give it to the security people. And he brought me a big old stack of gospel tracts. And the whole time I was there, I went through those gospel tracts and gave them to everybody. And praise be unto God, I had the privilege to lead one homeless man to Christ that was there in the COVID center because of his health situation. You know what? Maybe it was for that purpose that God sent me there. I don't have a clue. But you know what, folks? There comes a time where we simply have to trust God to know what He's doing. When we don't know what's going on, we have to trust God. Oh, that we might be men and women of faith tonight, and that we would trust the Lord to know what He's doing. And I want you to notice here that God not only chose this man, but He chose His servant to suffer. He chose him to suffer. Now, nobody likes to suffer. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants to go through the heartaches and the trials of this life. I'm sure tonight, if my pastor could stand right here and tell you, he would not want to be sitting there at home tonight. He would want to be here in this pulpit preaching the Word of God. But for whatever reason, God chose to allow him to be sick. And you know what? God is going to use him even though he is sick. God can use you even though you may be out sick or whatever problem that you're going through tonight. God's servant was chosen to suffer. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Look down at verse number 12. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. That's Satan's dwelling place. away from the presence of God. And look at what the Bible said in Job chapter 2. Turn over to Job chapter 2. And I want you to see here in verses 3 through 6. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face." Do you hear what Satan is saying about the servant of God? God is telling him that this is a faithful man. Satan is saying, "Oh, God, the only reason he serves you is because you've been so good to him. But you take away his health. You take away those things that are a help to him. You take away those things that he loves and he holds dear to his heart, and he will curse you to your face." Let me ask you something tonight, Christian. If God allowed Satan to do that to you, would you curse God to his face? My goodness, I hope you wouldn't. I don't want to do that. But look at what verse 6 said. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." Why was this servant chosen to suffer? Why did God allow this to happen to Job? Why has God allowed things to happen in your life and in my life the way that he has? Why does he do that? Look at it. It's for the sake of God's power and testimony to be displayed in our time of suffering. Folks, what greater time can the power of God and the testimony of God be displayed upon a child of God's life as it is when we are chosen to suffer for the Lord? The Apostle Paul was chosen to suffer for God. And you know what? Every time he went through a difficult time, he praised and he honored God. That's the way I want to be. That's the way I know you want to be tonight. But you've got to stay in the book. Listen, why did this servant, was this servant chosen to suffer? It was for the sake of Job's testimony and trust in God. You know what? When we are chosen to have to suffer, it ought to draw us closer unto God. Folks, it shouldn't push us away from God. Times of testing should not push us away. It should draw us closer to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And for the sake of those around Job who were not ready to be tested, God said, "Listen, folks, you watch my servant as he goes through this trying time in his life. I know he'll be a success." Why? Because he trusts me. He eschews evil. He stands in reverence unto me. And for the sake of those who were being tested, God chose this servant, this man named Job. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Folks, when we are tried and we're tempted and we're caused by Satan to doubt things with God, listen, you need to remember, you have been a chosen vessel. You are a chosen vessel of God. Trust him. Put your faith in him. Bring honor and glory so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of you and not of me. God had a purpose for allowing Job to be tested and tried by the devil. And why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know what? Anybody can praise God when everything's going right. But can we praise God when things are going wrong? I was reading over in the book of Acts again, And the Bible was talking about how that when the persecution came to Jerusalem and when Paul made havoc of the church, that those folks were scattered abroad everywhere. But everywhere they went, they preached the Word of God. You couldn't shut them up. And folks, that's the way you and I have got to be tonight. Listen, if they say we can't do it here, then okay, we'll go over here and do it. We'll go there and do it. But we're going to continue to do what God said do. I've often heard it said that God uses what He bruises. God uses what He bruises. I think that's exactly what God did with His own lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, there beginning in verse number 5, the Bible said, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Verse 6, "And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Look at verse 7. The Bible said He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so openeth He not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was He stricken, and He made His grave with the wicked, and with the rich in His death. Because He had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in His mouth." But folks, verses 10 and 11 of the book of Isaiah chapter 53 sum it all up as to the why that God did what He did with His Son, the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the Bible said. Isaiah 53 verses 10 and 11. The Bible said, though He was stricken, though He was beaten, smitten of men, the Bible said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He, God, shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Folks, I believe when Jesus looked up to His Father while He hung upon that cross of Calvary, and He looked up and He said, "Father, it is finished." And I can imagine in my mind and in my heart, God looking back down at His Son, and He said, "Son, I'm satisfied. The debt is paid." Amen? The debt is paid. Listen, God had a purpose in allowing His dear Son, Jesus, to suffer at the hands of Satan and of those wicked men that falsely accused Him and who crucified Him. And when God saw the suffering and how it would bring honor and glory to the name of God, while at the same time slapping the mouth of the devil shut, God said, "I'm satisfied." Amen? Oh, that our trials and our persecutions that we go through might satisfy the Lord while it shuts the mouth of the adversary. Amen? The Bible said here that God had a purpose in His servant Job being chosen to suffer. It was for the sake of God's power and testimony. It was for the sake of Job's testimony and trust in God. It was for the sake of those around Job who were not ready to be tested, and for the sake of those that were at that time being tested so that they could come out and be victorious. And folks, let me tell you something. God has a purpose when He allows you and me to pass through the fires of temptation and trial and heartache and discouragement. And I want to beseech you tonight, dear child of God, trust God with all of your heart, because God has a plan for your suffering tonight. God has a plan. Job didn't understand, yet he trusted God. Job begged God, "No," and yet he trusted God. And because of that, Point number four, God rewarded his servant. You see, Brother Ray, how did God reward his servant? And why did God reward his servant? Let me tell you why. When you go over to the book of Job, chapter number 42, I want you to turn over there just a moment. The last chapter in the book of Job, Job chapter 42. God rewarded his servant, number one, for trusting God. Let me ask you something tonight, child of God. In 2022, you're suffering. You're going through the heartaches of persecutions and trials and things that you just don't understand. But folks, when you don't understand, can you still trust God? Yes, you can. Is God's arm short? Is his hand short that we can't believe in him? Listen, I believe God can do whatever God wants to do. And God is in control. And look at what the Bible said here in Job chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." You know what Job did? He decided to trust God. Job had friends that accused him of being out of God's will. Job had friends that accused him of all manner of evil because of the things that were happening in his life. But that was not the case. Job was a chosen servant of God to suffer so that God could get the glory and to shut the mouth of the adversary once and for all. Could that be said of you tonight? Could that be said of me tonight? I want that to be said of me. Listen, I want to trust God. God rewarded his servant for trusting him, but God rewarded his servant tonight, listen to me, for suffering for God. Job chose to trust God, and yet he had to suffer. Boy, that's kind of ironic, is it not? But you know what? God had a plan. Look at chapter 42, verse 3. "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." Job was suffering. He was suffering because his friends were falsely accusing him. He was suffering because his wife had told him, "Job, just end it all. Just curse God and die." And Job looked at her and said, "You talk like one of the foolish women. Don't talk that way. We're going to trust God. We're going to depend on him." Listen, Job was suffering. He lost 10 children. I cannot imagine what it would be like to lose one. But Job lost 10. All of his business, all of his money, all of the things that he had, his home, everything. He lost it all. Job suffered for God, but God rewarded Job for suffering, for being willing to trust God. And look at this. God rewarded his servant for believing that God would be faithful to hear his cries, even when he did not understand what God was doing in his life. Listen, don't curse God tonight, my friend. Cry out unto God. Tell him that you don't understand, but that you're going to trust him and you're going to serve him and you're going to be willing to do whatever you got to do to keep faithful to him. Look at what he said here in Job chapter 42, verses 4, 5, and 6. He said, "Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job did not understand. He did not understand, but he believed that God would still hear his cry. He believed that God would be found faithful to hear him and to hear the cry of his heart. And look at this. God indeed rewarded his servant. Look at verses 10 through 13. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. I like that. He turned it completely around. Amen. Satan said, I've got him. And the Lord said, no, you don't. And the Lord just slapped the devil right away. And he turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now think about this a minute. Here Job was going through all the heartaches, all the trials, all the suffering. But Job took time to pray for his friends. His friends had accused him of doing wrong. His friends had said, you're just a wicked sinner, Job. You deserve what you're getting from God. And Job chose, in the power of God's might, in trust and in love for all that God had done for him, he chose to pray for his friends. Also, the Bible said, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in the house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Man, God blessed Job. Why? Because Job remained faithful to trust God, to love God, and to know that God was faithful to hear him when he cried. I'll be honest with you tonight, folks. I don't understand why so many of our folks are having to go through all the things that they're going through, including our pastor. I don't understand that. Man, our pastor has stood here faithful for 26 plus years preaching the Word of God. And yet, the Lord has allowed this sickness to come upon him, as he has many other folks in our church. Listen, is perhaps God trying to get glory out of your suffering tonight? Out of the things that you're going through tonight, is God going to use you to just slap the devil's mouth shut and say, see there, I told you they loved me. I told you they would not stop serving me. I told you they would be faithful to me. Listen, keep your eyes on Jesus tonight. I don't know why we're having to go through these things. Our pastor doesn't know, but God knows. Amen. You and I just need to determine that we're going to be faithful to do what we're supposed to do in 2022. I believe God has a purpose. Could it be that God is allowing us to endure pain and suffering tonight, right now, through all these things going on, so that we can show the world that, you know what, there is a way to have peace even in the midst of the storm. Perhaps God is using you tonight to show others that it's God and God alone that gives peace in the midst of the storm. While we may not understand why all these things are happening, and maybe why you don't understand why you just lost a loved one, perhaps a husband, perhaps a sister or a brother or someone dear and near to your family. You don't understand why God took them home at such a time as this. Listen to me tonight. Trust God. God's got a plan. God knows what he's doing. And it could be that through this suffering, God is going to use you to shut the mouth of the accuser who is saying unto God, God, the only reason they serve you is because you've been so good to them. But you take this away, you take that one away, you do this against them, and they'll curse you to your face. Can God look at Satan about you or about me tonight and say, no, I know my servant. They're going to love me. And no matter what you throw at them, they're going to be steadfast and faithful to live for me and serve me. Oh, may that be true of us tonight. And in this new year, 2022, May we be found faithful even in the midst of the storms. There was a man whose name was Job. What a story. What a book. What a Bible. Thank God for it tonight. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I know, dear God, that you have a plan for each of us tonight. Lord, there is no doubt in my mind, God, that you have allowed these things to come upon our church right now so that we couldn't even have services. But God, we still love you tonight. And God, we thank you for this internet ministry where that we can still reach the world with the message of the gospel. And God, I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll take this message and use it, dear Lord, to speak to the hearts of your people. I know, Lord, that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. That's what Job prayed. God, let that be our prayer tonight as well. And Lord, if there be someone tonight that's watching this service and they do not yet know you as their Savior, Lord, perhaps they're suffering tonight. They're going through some heartaches tonight, loss of a loved one. Lord, I pray, God, if they're not saved, Lord, that you will use these things to draw them unto you so that they will call upon you and ask you to save them and they can know the sweet comfort and peace that only you can give in times like this. Father, thank you again for the privilege to be here tonight. We love you. And we pray, God, that you'll bless our upcoming services online Sunday morning at 10:45, again Sunday night at 6, and then next Wednesday at 7. Bless our pastor, strengthen him, and bring him back soon. And God will thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.